Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Lift your hands everywhere, all over the hall. Mercy, Lord. Your mercy endures forever. We are standing before the throne of your grace, and we obtain mercy for this moment. And our hearts are assured in the glory of your grace, in the riches of your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. In this moment, we know we stand accepted in your beloved. We stand blameless and without reproach. We stand as your righteousness, even in Christ Jesus, your Son. In this moment, we know that the blood of sprinkling is speaking for us. Speaking over our conscience, speaking over every vessel of worship. And by your mercies, we present ourselves living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. For this is our spiritual act of worship. We bless your holy name. Just lift your hands and worship him in the spirit. The Holy Spirit is granting utterance to every one of us. Just lift your hands and worship him in the spirit. And if the Lord gives you a song in the spirit, sing it with the spirit. Sing it with your spirit.
Our eyes are on you. Our hearts are fixed on you. Lifted before you, O God, in praise, in thanksgiving, in adoration, in reverence, O God, of your name.
Just wave those hands to him and bless the name of the Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you all the praise and we give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have worshipped. And the people of the Lord say a very big amen. Our hearts are open, O Lord, and we thank you for your holy word. And we receive the ministry of your spirit through your word. Speak to us in a special way today. Touch our lives in a special way. Minister to us strategically and specifically. Lord, you know exactly where your word has to hit us. You know exactly where your hand has to touch. Do surgeries. Let there be transformation from the inside to the outside. But all I ask today is that what you do today be a perfection of your grace and a lasting work. Our heart yearns for a shift. Our heart yearns for a shift. We have known your blessings. We have seen your mercies. But we know deeply within us that there is much more. Much more. There is much more. There are heights and there are depths. There are dimensions in you. And Lord, today in the name of Jesus, spare nothing. Spare nothing. Spare nothing. Move in our midst. Reveal yourself and unveil your glory by your word. Thank you. For your works are excellent. Your works are perfect. And your works are enduring. All flesh is as grass. The glory of men, like the flowers. Today they are, and the next time they wither. But your word endures forever. Abides and endures forever. Spirit of the living God, let your work by your word today abide and endure forever. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. If you know how to praise God rejoicingly, with gladness, with joy. Hallelujah. The hand of God that lifts men up is at work in our midst today. The hand of God that lifts men up is at work in our midst today. The hand of God that lifts men up is at work in our midst today. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Welcome everyone by your side, to the left and to the right. Make sure there will be no stranger. Get to introduce yourselves and let them introduce themselves to you. I'm so excited. Turn to that neighbor, call him by his or her name, and say, Love John David. The hand of God that lifts men up is at work in our midst today. Tell him or her, say, Don't miss your moment. Say, the Holy Spirit is here for you. Say, he's speaking. Open up your heart. Give your attention to the Holy Spirit. Say, incline your ears to the words that are being spoken by the Spirit. Through his servant, say, open up. Don't let anything distract you. It's time for beyond limits. Give him praise. See, some people miss the moment. I said, give him praise, and some people missed it. I told you not to miss any moment. Don't miss any moment. All right, this is still a Quantum Leap series that we are on. Praise the Lord. The last time we worked on a Quantum Leap series, we worked on understanding the concept of what? Quantum Leap. We looked at the concept of quantum leaps in nature, in physics. And then we looked at the concept of quantum leaps in life experiences. How so many people have classical experiences through life, nothing outstanding or extraordinary happens in their lives. They just live life on normal terms, treading normal paths. Nothing spectacular, nothing iconic, nothing great happens in their lives. But there are others that experience quantum leaps in certain seasons, in their different stages and in the different phases of their lives. In such certain seasons, they move from one level to greater levels, which is not ordinary, not normal, and not a normal experience to what others experience. So we call those ones who have a normal life that they are operating in a classical system, but people who operate in quantum systems always at different times in their lives experience quantum leaps. And we told us while we were explaining these things that quantum leap is different from working to make progress. No, it's different from that. You should work to make progress. And every little progress made consistently will amount to something great, which is one of the great secrets of success. Okay? But it's not quantum leaps. Quantum leaps, we told you, is not playing for incremental gain. No. Quantum leaps is going for a landmark, milestone, monumental, epic change of levels. Epic. And every outstanding success, every great man knows that. That for him or her to be who he is or who she is, everybody knows that. That there are certain seasons that there was a shift that was divine, supernatural. Something extraordinary. In those pockets of moments, all you could use to explain it is the grace of God. That's all you can use to explain it. And so we, in explaining, and this is very important, in explaining the things that characterize quantum leap experiences, we said that it must happen suddenly. Quantum leap happens what? Suddenly. And then it happens what else? Astronomically. How many of you remember? And then it happens what? Incredibly. Incredibly. If it can be explained, it's not yet quantum leap. If it can be explained, it's not yet quantum leap. So, and we ended that subject by asking ourselves, when does a man need a quantum leap blessing? When should you begin to believe God seriously, desiring strongly a quantum leap blessing? We said a quantum leap blessing is needed when a man is faced with the semblance of stagnation, something that appears to be stagnation. Even though the man knows that he shouldn't be stagnated, he's not under a curse, so he shouldn't be hindered. But when he looks at the outward and the experiences of his life for a prolonged period of time, it seems as if he's stagnated. When progress is made but so slow, when gains are made but so small, such that that man will need multiple lifetimes to achieve just a fraction of what God has destined for him to accomplish in his lifetime. He will need multiple lifetimes. At the pace which that kind of progress is going, that man will need multiple lifetimes. By the time he's wrapping up 120 years, he won't have scratched what God has for him. Things that are in his heart, you know, heights he dreams of, things that he genuinely dreams of and wants to accomplish. When a man notices that, and especially when it's happened for a long period of time, and it seems as if time is moving. And you know, one thing about time is that it continues to move and waits for no one. Then that man should begin to trust the Lord for quantum leap blessing. I want to ask those of you that are here on site and all of you that are watching me or listening to me online from different parts of the world, is there anyone here who genuinely desires and who knows that he needs a quantum leap blessing now? Let me see. Are you sure? Are you sure? Then I want you to close your eyes. Bow down your head. Don't joke with this moment. It's not the hearer that is blessed of the word. No. Those who hear only, it is not them that are blessed of the word. It is the doer. The word of God brings a dimension that must be applied. So this evening, you must be sober. You must be very attentive. You must open your heart to grasp what God is saying. If you genuinely desire quantum leaps, this evening is very strategic. So talk to God. Tell him, reveal yourself by your word to me today. Give me specific word. Please don't look at me. That's why I asked you to close your eyes and look down. Discipline yourself and pray. And if you're not praying, you're already missing the moment. I'm sorry if you're not praying, you're already missing the moment, because God answers prayers, but he only answers the prayers that are prayed. Stop sitting down thinking that everything has to be done for you. That once pastor preaches and then he prophesies, then it happens. Learn to do certain things yourself. Take responsibility for your success. Take responsibility for your promotions. Take responsibility for your prosperity. Talk to God. Spirit of the Lord, arm me with the keys. I won't miss this moment. I won't miss my season. I won't miss my time. Arm me with the keys. Arm me with such light that will unleash me into the next dimensions of manifestations. I want to see quantum leaps blessings evidently on my life, evidently on my family, evidently on my ministry, evidently on my career, evidently on my businesses, evidently on everything that concerns me. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Now, I want to touch something that I've touched before, because gaining understanding of that secret is what will establish you and position you rightly to experience quantum leaps. Once you gain understanding of what I'm about to teach you now, igabago, it means the wings are already fixed and spread. You are about to fly. We are on a subject, quantum leaps. Is it a mystical or a practical experience? Because so far as people think something is mystical, they absorb themselves of any form of responsibility in making that thing happen. Because it's mystical. It's not in their hands. Only God can decide and determine it. They absorb themselves of any form of responsibility. But when people begin to understand the practical operations of things, even things that are spiritual, and they see the principles that bring about such things, then they can come into partnership with the operations of God and of grace. They can take responsibility and know what is their role, where they need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, what they need to do that God is expecting them to do, and then they take responsibility. And once they take responsibility, they begin to see the results. Why those who think that it's just a mystical thing will just keep waiting and waiting and waiting for God? And many wait in vain for a very long time. So the first thing in explaining whether quantum leaps is a mystical or a practical experience is that you must understand the two dimensions of the mercy of God. Quantum leaps is purely a function of God's mercy. It's not of him that wills. It's not of him that runs. No, the race is not to the swiftest. The race is not to the swiftest. The battle is not to the strongest. I'm telling you. It's of him who showeth mercy. So quantum leaps is purely a function of the mercy of God. But there must be a wholesome understanding of the mercy of God. There are two dimensions to the mercy of God. It's, for example, you bring out your money or your coin and you say there is a head and a tail, but both of the sides are of one coin. That's how the mercy of God is. The first dimension of the mercy of God is what we call redemptive mercy. Everybody shout redemptive mercy. I'm not hearing you. Shout redemptive mercy. The second one is what we call enthronement what? Mercy. Enthronement mercy. The second one is what we call enthronement mercy. Everybody shout enthronement mercy. Now listen very carefully. Both dimensions have their foundation and they stand on the finished work of Christ. Mercy is mercy. Both dimensions have their foundation on the finished work of Christ. Both foundation, both of them, dimensions, they stand on the finished work of Christ. That means both of them happen because of the finished work of Christ. And they are facilitated only through the finished work of Christ. Listen very carefully. Both are God's perfect work of grace through Jesus Christ. Both of them. But there are differences. Differences, hear this. Differences to their appropriation. How you appropriate them. How you take hold of them. And differences to their expressions. How they manifest. There are differences. They are not the same. Wave your hands if you are in church. Say, I hear. Are you getting me? So let's get to redemptive mercy. Let me show you some of their expressions. Redemptive mercy shows in spiritual and eternal salvation. Spiritual and eternal salvation. So you see things like Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Put it on the screen for me. I want you to hold your neighbor and read to your neighbor. One, and pay attention while you're reading. There are things I need you to notice while you're reading. Read to your neighbor, one to go. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him, has raised him from the dead, you will be. It's simple, period. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You confess with your mouth that by the virtue of that, he is Lord over all. You will be saved. Keep reading to your neighbor, verse 10, and read out loud. One, to go. For with a heart, what? One believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's talking about spiritual and eternal what? Salvation. What's that? Let's look at another scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 4 to 9. First, please. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. You see, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Keep moving, verse 5. Verse 5, keep moving, I'm reading till verse 9. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Help me turn to two or three people by your side and tell them, by grace, you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Everybody read with me now, verse 8 and verse 9. One to go. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works. Lest anyone should boast. By grace we've been saved through our faith in Christ Jesus. And in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit shows us what is that faith. You believe that God raised him from the dead. And then you confess with your mouth. That's all. And you're saved. That's all. You don't add to it. You don't remove from it. That's exactly how people are saved. So what you're seeing here is redemptive mercy. Somebody say redemptive mercy. The mercy of God that comes to save and that comes to deliver people. Let me show you another one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, and we're going to read till verse 14, so make sure you're following. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 14. Oh, you better hold your neighbor and read this one together in thanksgiving. Come on, one to go. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to become partakers of what? The inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, we continue reading. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And verse 14, in whom we have what? Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's redemptive mercy. He qualified us to be partakers, meaning shareholders, participators, to have legal rights, a right of heritage, to have legal access, and to partake and participate in the divine. Every inheritance of glory that He ordained and prepared for all things in the light. He qualified us. We didn't qualify ourselves. Not of works, so no one can boast. Just our faith. We believed and we confessed. That's it. That's the only way we demonstrated that faith. We believed, we confessed the Lordship of Jesus, and we are saved. And it happens. And while that's happening, He's telling us in verse 13 that He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So we are no longer under the dominion, the rulership, the dictates of the kingdom of darkness. And He conveyed us, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, of His dear Son. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we live now. That's where we move. That's where we have our being. We are now citizens of that kingdom. Bona fide citizens. In whom? In Christ Jesus. We have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. You see, redemptive. Redemptive. They said there is a curse hanging over a man's head. He comes into Christ and he's redeemed from every curse. They said there is something stopping you. He's redeemed from it. I want you to listen carefully. So, when you're going to see the expressions of redemptive mercy in spiritual and eternal salvation and everything else that comes with it, divine healing, you see it there. Supernatural deliverance, when people are possessed and you want to cast that devil out, that's redemptive mercy at work. When people are oppressed, afflicted, tormented by devils and demons, you want to cast those devils out, break their hold. That's redemptive mercy. Deliverance. He delivered us. That's the expression of this mercy. I want you to listen because it's important. You see it in divine protection. You see it in supernatural victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you go to places like 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, say we are of God and we have overcome. You go to 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, the same thing. We hail from God. We are sons of God, little children, and you have overcome. You have overcome. He said through the blood we overcame and through the words of our testimony, our confessions. Through the blood and through our confessions we overcame. You see, victory over the devil, victory over the world, redemptive mercy. You also see supernatural supply, miraculous provisions. People are suffering. They need God's help. They're in a fix. They need divine intervention. Any form of divine intervention. And God supplies miraculously. Like they wanted water. And God provided water for them. That's redemptive mercy. They wanted meat. He sent a wind and brought quails. Redemptive mercy. They wanted food. He rained manna from heaven. Redemptive mercy. So people were hungry. Listening to Jesus for 3 days and had not eaten anything. Fainting. And he wanted to provide food. Redemptive mercy. He is caring. He who is rich in mercy. For his great love. For by which he has loved us. So you see, instant miracles, instant turnarounds, interventions of God, redemptive mercy. When you see this mercy, I want you to understand the secret. This first dimension of God's mercy only requires one thing: the hearing of faith. That faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The hearing of faith. That faith that comes, like I'm preaching now, or you're just reading your Bible, or you're praying, or you're listening to the message through other, or you're reading a Christian book, and God speaks to you. And you hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to you by his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As the word of God is being preached and you hear it, what matters is only belief. That's all. Once you believe and you act on that, that's the end. You receive it. That's all is required. Only belief. Somebody shout, only belief. Oh, I need to hear you. Hear louder. Shout, only believe. Come on, shout it again. Say, only believe. I'm not hearing you yet. Say, only believe. So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. I would like you to go there. Fast, please. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5. Write it down. There is something I need you to understand. Once you understand this, you have started moving. Oh, foolish Galatians. Why is it calling them foolish? When you read Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 15, maybe to verse 17, you understand why. When people no longer understand the will of God, the scripture sees them as fools. So there is a dimension of foolishness in the scripture. Those who don't fear God. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. But there is another dimension of foolishness for those who are in Christ. When people are ignorant and they do not have an understanding of the will of God in an area, they will begin to act as fools. They begin to act foolish in that area. So for these Galatians, they've come to Christ. They heard the gospel. They are now saved. They've seen miracles done in the name of Jesus Christ. But certain men who came, who are from the Jews, came in after Apostle Paul have done the work of grace by the Spirit in their midst, established that church, and started teaching them another gospel. Telling them that for their salvation to be perfect, that they have to circumcise themselves. Which is not a law of Christ, but the law of Moses. And now they were taking them back to the observation of the laws of Moses. And no man could ever be saved by that. And so Apostle Paul now had to come in to address these things. Because many of them were already being deceived. And they were letting go of the liberty that they've been brought in Christ. So he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" That's the problem. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as whole? Crucified. Wave your hands if you're in church. Say, "I'm here." All right. Verse 2. "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So when you gave your life to Christ and you were baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord came to dwell in you, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon you, baptizing you with power, with fire. When the Holy Spirit came upon you, were there things you observed according to the laws that you now did that happened? Or did you just hear the gospel, hear of the Holy Spirit, and by hearing, when you responded in faith, the Holy Spirit came upon you? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, verse 3. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" I need you to pay attention. Somebody pray in the Spirit. God grants us understanding. Oh, pray violently in the Spirit. Pray with intensity. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So a man can begin in the Spirit. Start walking with God on the platform, on the path of faith. And then after a while, now want to start receiving things from God on the basis of performance. How have I performed on the works of the law? Listen, this is very important. Verse 4. "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain." You've gone through persecutions. Some people feel like you're Gentiles, you're not originally Jews. Some of them don't even think you're saved, that you will be a partaker of the commonwealth of Zion. Have you gone through all these persecutions and trials? Ostracization? They ostracized you? Made you an outcast? All in vain? Now, I want you to read verse 5. Hold your neighbor, call him by his or her name. Say, "Love, son David." Say, "Hear the word of the Lord." Read verse 5 to him or her and read it out loud. One to go. "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and what? Among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing?" So he who supplies the Spirit, which is a function of redemption, a fruit of redemption. The Holy Spirit was poured out because Jesus died and was raised from the dead. That's why. It was Jesus that received this promise of the Father and poured him out. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He who works miracles in your midst, the miracles that God works, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Everybody say the hearing of faith. Come on, shout the hearing of faith. So let me explain. Write this down. The redemptive dimension of God's mercy. Requires nothing of the receiver. Other than to only believe. Other than to only believe. So the receiver has no other responsibility than to believe. And in extension, you know the spirit of faith. According to what is written. We believed and therefore we... So how do we know you believed? By what you speak. We also... So when you say only to believe, it means to believe in the heart and to confess with your mouth. That's all. The faith action is just believe and confess. And then faith without works is also dead. So if you're confessing and you believe, there will be a corresponding action. So if you believe you're healed, Jesus says to the paralytic man, staying there for a very long time, 38 years, he just says, stand up, take your mat and what? And move. And the man, is that action of trying to stand up? That's when the healing happened. Jesus said to the 10 lepers who were crying for mercy, go and show yourself. The Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. So there is an action. There is an action. Jesus, like the one we walked with. You know, I've been using that scripture a lot this year. Whatever he asked you to do. So he says, go and fill the vessels with water. Now take the water to the... And they went to do it. So there is an action. A corresponding action. So the cycle of faith is completed by believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth, and acting in consonance with what you have believed and what you're confessing. So if you believe you're healed, you will start acting out your healing. You can't say, I'm healed, and lie down. If you believe you're healed, you stand up. So that's a story that can help us look at it more. Mark chapter 5. I think from verse 20, 21, thereabout. Jesus was on his way. And a ruler in the synagogue, Jairus by name, came to meet him. And said his daughter was sick unto death. He said, Master, I know that if you come and lay your hands, pray for her, she's going to be healed. While that was going on, and they were on the path going, there was quite a multitude thronging Jesus. Quite a multitude. And they were pressing on him. So obviously the journey may have delayed a bit. Now came along the path a woman that had suffered, had an issue of blood for about 12 years. And that woman said, I know you're not on this path for me, but I'm going to intercept you. Somebody will have divine interception today. It may not be what this service is all about, but your faith is crying out for a miracle. There is someone God is saying that I should tell. Right while we are talking about this, there is an emergency in your life. The Lord said your faith has made you whole. Your faith receives that miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. And while Jesus finished with her, I want you to go to verse 35. Go to verse 35. While he was still speaking to that lady, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" So you see, the only thing that can answer this is redemptive mercy. The case is closed. The case is closed. The worst any situation can be is death. Death. That's it. Death. That's the worst. The worst any situation can be is dead. Once something is dead, it's dead. But we serve the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. I now address that which they have called dead. Ikaloza yeto. The same life that swallowed up death in victory. That same life, by the power of his spirit, of the eternal spirit, is speaking now, is walking now, is operating now. I command, let that which was dead come alive, live again, thrive again. That's the worst the case can be. Dead. All right. Now look at verse 36. I want you to listen to this and I want you to read it to your neighbor and read out very loud. Very, very loud. 1, 2, go. That's all. That's redemptive mercy. The only requirement is what Jesus just showed us. When it comes to all these things, you don't do nothing to earn your divine healing. Tonight, if you came with any symptom in your body, only believe. He that eats his flesh and drinks his blood, the same life, that's what you're partaking of. And that life, do you understand? Under the law, I want to listen. Under the law, this law that was meditated, given through Moses, you were commanded, when you're clean, don't touch lepers, don't touch dead things, don't touch dirty things. It will infect you. It will corrupt you. It will make you unclean. Under the law, you don't touch lepers. So lepers were given a camp outside, somewhere outside where people dwell. And if they were walking around, or someone that is unclean by the standard of the law, there will be a bell that they will be ringing. Someone unclean is walking. So everybody will give chance because they are clean. Under grace, grace came through Jesus Christ. No. Under grace, see, under the law, the unclean thing makes the clean thing unclean. Under grace, the life makes the unclean clean. That which they say you should not touch is what him that is life touched. He touched the lepers and cleansed them of their leprosy. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to tell you is this. The life at work in you is incorruptible. The life at work in you is incorruptible. Nothing defies that life. And if you understand how to operate, laying hold on this eternal life, operate in view of this eternal life, operate in faith, knowing that the life of Christ is in you, you'll be the one releasing life upon things that are dead. As soon as Jesus heard what they were saying, he turned to Jairus and said, Hey, don't cut the flow. I'm able, more than able. Don't cut the flow. There is mercy speaking for you. Don't cut the flow. And the only requirement is what? And then he said nobody else should follow him except Peter, James, and John. When he got there, he saw people who were wailing, crying. And he said to them, what is that? Why are you crying? The child is sleeping. This child is not dead. The Lord has anointed me to tell you, this child is not dead. This vision is not dead. This destiny is not over. Did you hear what I said? And they ridiculed him. But that's how faith works. Faith never makes sense. Faith never makes sense. It takes the ridiculous to produce the miraculous. When it comes to faith, ridiculing faith is necessary for it to work at its peak. If they've not mocked your faith, you've not understood peak faith, your most holy faith. There is a place your faith starts working. Everybody will be convinced you're a fool. They ridiculed him. But he just took them, put everybody out. Took the mother, took the father, entered, looked at the child, and said, Talita Kumai, damsel, arise. And she that they called dead is an anointed now. What is that thing they've called dead? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit right now. What is that thing they said will never walk again? What is that part of your body? Kaya la braga ba 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 tesha. Lembrande sundari bregedoshka. Lebalina kaya la mondo. Lembrande sundari bregadesh. Le brande ko sandali braga ba 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 ba. Le brande sundali braga brindo sundali braga de bato. La ponde sandelito. Le brande kunde sundali braga teya. Le brande sakata. Where is the height they said we will never reach again? Oh, they've counseled us out. They've counseled us off. They counted us off. They've counted us off. They said we will never be anymore. They said it's over. They can't rise again. Who is that person that was said of that you will rise again? And who is the person that commands a thing and it will be when the Lord has not commanded it? Hey, Kayala Dosha. Le prende sunde libre geteya. Le prende sunde yakataya. That devil has lied. That devil is a liar. I said that devil has lied. I say it's a lie. 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 Dreams arise.
ministries, arise! Gifts, arise! Families, arise! Visions, arise! Callings, arise! Prophetic destinies, arise! Begin to speak! Begin to speak! Begin to speak! Begin to walk! Begin to walk! In the name of Jesus!
Hey!
Whatever the Lord has spoken in your life, whatever prophecy that has been made over your life, over your destiny, over your family, over anything that concerns you, over your children and your children's children, that seems as if it's been aborted, I command, arise and speak! Arise and walk! Arise and try! In the name of Jesus! Whatever you're believing for tonight, victory on any side, whatever you're believing for tonight, healing, only believe. Only believe. And whatever you hear by the hearing of the word, by the hearing of the word, open your mouth and declare it and say, I believe that I receive this. Whatever it is, say, I believe that I receive it. You begin to declare it. You begin to declare it. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands and bless Him. Father, we bless you tonight. And we give you all the glory. We worship you from the depths of our hearts. For you alone as God. Thank you for what you always do in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Now listen very carefully. The secret of having a wholesome experience with God, nothing missing, nothing broken, is an understanding of these two dimensions of God's mercy. You see the expressions of this redemptive mercy, and you see how you appropriate it.
only believe. So you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you respond immediately in an action. That's all. Instantly, that's how it works. And you don't consider lying vanities. You don't consider the things we do not walk by sight. If you receive your healing tonight, don't pay attention to anything else except your healing. You may still feel pain. You may still feel something. It doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. The things of the natural are subject to change. Faith and God's word endures forever. Faith does not fail. These three abide: hope, faith, and love. It does not fail. So you stand on your faith. You refuse to consider the natural. You tell yourself, I refuse to fear. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to worry. I walk by faith and not by my senses. Not by sensory perception, not by sight. I believe that I have received my healing. I am healed. And you keep saying it. If the natural and the threat of the natural heightens, let the radicality of your faith increase. Never let the threat of the enemy overshadow the boldness and the radicality of your faith. Shut the devil down. I refuse to fear. I fear no evil. God is who He says He is. I have what He says I have. I have received my miracle. Now, I want to listen very carefully. The other side of it is the enthronement message. That's the next thing I'm going to take us through. By God's grace, I'll tell you when. The secret of nothing missing, nothing broken is not to give up on any of them. See them as two sides of the same coin, not as two different experiences. Two sides of the same coin. Collect this and collect this. Match them. Listen to what God is saying. But you know, why I brought all this thing up, thank God for tonight, is that quantum leaps shifts, quantum leaps promotions, quantum leaps change of levels doesn't happen through redemptive mercy. It doesn't happen by only belief. That's why I taught you this. So enjoy your divine healing. Enjoy all these things that this redemptive mercy provides. But when you're ready for quantum leap, you must know what dimension of mercy that provides for it is the other one. How many of you are understanding what I'm saying? When we come, we'll look more into it. Give God praise if you got it. You better give Him praise as if you mean it. You better give Him praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.